From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska, this is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto calling in from Willow, Alaska, the mushing capital of the world. And we have a brand new show starting this afternoon or this morning, depending on where you're listening to. It is called The Cybe Vibe. And the new guest and our new host, her name is Dorothy Wills Raftery. I believe I always butcher her name, and I apologize if I do.
No,
Dorothy calling in from New York. How are you, Dorothy?
I'm great, Robert. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I am so happy and honored to be the co-host of your brand new show, The Cybe Vibe. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, basically, The Cybe Vibe, what I want to do is just talk to different people in the Siberian Husky world. They're a magnificent breed. I feel once you have one, you never go back. And there's so many wonderful people out there that I think have a lot of information that they can share, a lot of education that we can help folks who are considering, maybe a husky. This way we can help them be aware of all the different aspects of owning one. There are some awesome rescues, so if folks are thinking about a husky, you know, it's great to know about that they can volunteer, they can foster, they can adopt. And through this show, I hope we can talk to a lot of those people and highlight these huskies in need, as well as talk to other people in the field, people who are maybe producing movies or writing books or doing behavioral training. So I really hope that we'll have a great 1 hour of chatting about all things husky.
I'm looking forward to it. I know you want to introduce yourself as well as me to your new listeners. I know a lot of folks have listened to your and my shows on several occasions through our websites. But to your new followers, tell us a little bit about each of us.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with you because I am absolutely thrilled that you're my co-host. And I'm very excited to be part of the Dog Works Radio family. We're going to be doing the show once a month. We're going to be highlighting it on a Sunday a month. And Robert, for those listeners who may not be aware, is a canine behaviorist and lead trainer at Alaska Dog Works. He's also the training director for Dog Works Training Centers and also hosts the weekly Dog Works radio show that's geared toward educating dog owners in canine sports, working dogs, and canine training. He also hosts, along with his wife Michelle, Mush You Huskies, a radio program about everything in the world of dog-powered sports and concentrating on mushing, and I was thrilled to be featured on their show earlier this year. Currently, Robert is training Team Eneke for the 2014 Iditarod, so we're going to be watching you, Robert.
Awesome.
And you can find him and Dog Works Media both on Twitter and Facebook, and maybe you can just let them know how they can find you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're all over the place, Facebook and Twitter. Just search Robert Forto, Team Eneke, or Denver or Alaska Dog Works, and we'll pull right up. And yes, we are up here in Alaska, but that's only a phone call away, so give us a call and check us out. Dorothy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm the parent to five magnificent huskies, or we refer to them as our kids. My daughter helps me raise them, and I have the blog 5sibes.blogspot.com that people can check in, see what's happening with the 5sibes. I also have the 5sibes Siberian Husky Canine News and Reviews Facebook page, where not only do I post information, but I also do a lot of reposting from rescues and different folks, and I repost photographs of husky parents. It's just a really friendly community page that people can share on. And I also have started authoring illustrated children's books called The 5sibe Tales. And the first one that came out was What's Wrong with Gibson, Learning About Canine Epilepsy, and that's available through ArcticHousePublishing.com. And I just want to give a shout out to my my illustrator, Michelle Littler. She has a shop called Little Toad on Etsy, and I think she does a fantastic job with the illustrations of the five sides in the books. And she also did the logo for this show, The Side Vibe. And I will be having another five side tale come out soon. We were supposed to do late spring, a little delay on that, but that'll be coming out hopefully late summer. I'm thinking maybe even by end of September will be the next Five Sides tale. And I just love talking Husky.
Well, I'm looking forward to it starting today. And you know what, Dorothy? I think we're making history here. Your folks that are calling in, they're calling in from Florida, who happens to be in the path of the hurricane. You know, they postponed the national convention for the Republican Party until Tuesday, but we got guests calling in the middle of a hurricane from Florida. That's pretty cool. I don't know if it's cool or not, but at least they took the time to give us a call, and I have a couple of questions about that coming up. But before we bring them up, tell us a little bit about who our guest is today, then introduce them, please.
Absolutely. They're a fantastic group of people, and I'm not surprised they're calling in when there's a hurricane coming up, because they're very dedicated to the care and welfare of Huskies. And I just want to mention, it's a great day to be airing this show and talking about the amazing breed, because today is National Dog Day. I don't know if everyone knew that, but I put a post up on the blog, but it's a perfect day for us to be talking about this.
Great.
So today, our guests for this very first broadcast are Debbie Klein and Janet Cross from the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida, and that's based out of Seminole, Florida, where 985 Huskies they have saved since the Husky Rescues first established in 1999, and I think that's very commendable. I think that's just awesome.
Wow.
They have a great website. It's at www.cyberrescue.com, and that's the first five letters of Siberian, so it's S-I-B-E-R plus the word rescue.com. So there are two R's in there when people go to pull it up on the website. And while you're there, they can check out the beautiful Siberian Huskies available for adoption. They have some fantastic educational information, and they have a National Lost and Found Siberian Husky Rescue Registry, that we're going to be talking about a little bit later on. Debbie Klein is the president of the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida, and she has been in that position for the past year and a half, and she's been involved with the rescue as a volunteer and board member for the past 3 years. Even though she's always admired the breed, she tells us that her sister was the first in the family to take in a husky and is the one who triggered her developing a more detailed interest in Sibes. Prior to joining the rescue, Debbie had a few years' experience in leading a nonprofit organization. She says she's always believed in rescuing a dog in need rather than purchasing one, since there are so many dogs looking for homes. Debbie's two current Siberian Huskies were adopted through the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida and have been a big part of their family and lives. She also serves as a foster home for incoming Huskies and says that her girls have learned that the house is that they're a house of rotating Husky guests. Joining Debbie is Janet Cross, who is the volunteer coordinator of the rescue. She's been the volunteer coordinator several times over the past 5 years, and while other volunteers have taken over the role for short periods of time, Janet is now back in the position on a permanent basis. She also has a Twitter, TwitPic, and Facebook pages that she maintains for the rescue, and she adopted her first Siberian Husky in 1992 from a rescue group in Canada while she was living there. Her family moved to Florida, and when in 2005 her husky boy crossed the Rainbow Bridge, Janet adopted her current husky Ranger 6 weeks from 6 weeks later from the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida. And Janet says she has always believed in adopting from a rescue and never buy a dog from a pet store, and she encourages everyone to adopt, not shop. And I've seen some photos of her dog Ranger. He's extremely handsome, and we have to talk about how he enjoys boating in Florida.
Awesome, awesome. Well, they are on the line, Debbie and Janet. Welcome to DogWorks Radio and the Side Vibe. How are you guys down in Florida?
We're doing good, thank you.
We're good, thank you.
So, again, thank you very much. I know we're spanning time zones by quite a bit. It's only 9:30 in the morning here in Alaska and about 1:30 in the afternoon in Florida. And you guys are in the path of the hurricane. So if for any reason we lose you for whatever reason, if you can call back in, please do. Dorothy, let's get right into the show. You have your first question for Debbie and or Janet.
I sure do. You know, very popular questions that I hear a lot over on my Facebook page and blogs are, can Huskies live in warm climates? You know, people will post and, you know, they're a northern breed, and they're very curious as to how they can take the heat, and also, you know, how, you know, not only how do they do, or if you have any kind of advice and tips for Husky parents who live in more tropical climates.
Hi, Dorothy. This is Janet.
Hi.
We have certainly asked an awful lot about, isn't it cruel to have Siberian Huskies in Florida? And we just want to share this information. Huskies do adapt very well to the weather in Florida, just like we humans do. It's certainly too hot for the Huskies to be outside 24/7, just like it is for us humans. Dogs obviously don't sweat like humans do, so their hair helps to insulate them from the heat as well as the cold. They cool themselves by panting from the mouth and sweating at the paws. Now, if you have a Husky in Florida, you will see that their undercoat will not get as thick as if they lived in Alaska. And this
okay.
is compensation for the difference in the temperatures. However, one thing we like to stress is that shaving your dog is not necessary and is certainly not recommended. Shaving your Husky will change the way their coat looks and feels. Quite often, it will grow back with different color tones. Also, because Huskies have no pigment in their skin, due to the fact that they are supposed to have hair, they can become sunburned very easily. They're also more susceptible to heat strokes since the hair helps keep them cool. I hope that this will clear that point. And if anybody has any questions on that, they can always email us at the rescue.
Wonderful. Now, I know that there are different activities that some people will put up a kiddie pool. Some will allow their dogs to go in an in-the-ground pool. And I see Ranger loves to go boating. How quickly do they adapt to these type of things? Do they? Because I know some Huskies may not enjoy water, and then we have some who do.
Well, this is Janet again. Let me say we did bring our last Siberian Husky with us from Canada. He was already 9 when he arrived in Florida, and he'd spent most of his life living in Canada. And let me tell you, the adjustment period was really very, very short. We just used common sense, and this is what we always suggest, is that you treat a dog just as you would treat a child. If you take them out on activities, try to choose the cooler times of the day, the early morning or at night when the sun's gone down. If they're on a boat, like my dog Ranger is, we keep him under the canopy at all times. We keep the cabin door open so he can easily go downstairs and get himself completely out of the sun, and sometimes he does choose to do that. So the period of adaption is really very, very short. It really is just a matter of using common sense.
That's great, because I know a lot of folks are, when they think about moving, it's good for them to know that, you know, not to let climate, you know, stop them from bringing their Husky with them.
Absolutely. I would agree with that totally.
Wonderful. Now, I just want to back up just a little bit, and I was hoping that maybe you can give us a little history about the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida and, you know, just tell us a little bit more about your rescue.
Sure. Hi, Dorothy. This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
So, there were previously several Husky Show Club members that did as much as they could to rescue Huskies in shelters that were in need, and they actually spent their own money towards whatever it took to help these Huskies outside of their club. And this goes back to probably about the 1995 to 1998 time frame before Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida was actually incorporated. But they were the inspiration for a few of those members to look into getting a nonprofit 501c3 to start a Siberian Husky Rescue. And they continued to work with those club members, and the club members helped educate everybody about the breed. And even though the founders of the rescue continue to work with them, through the powers of online capability, they were able to recruit many other volunteers around the state to grow the rescue around. And some of these volunteers were, of course, fosters, several of which ended up adopting the rescued Huskies, filling up their homes. And then in 1999, as you mentioned earlier when you were introducing us, that was when the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida became incorporated, and that was actually also around the time that many other breed-specific rescues started to develop.
Now, I understand that you're a foster-based rescue, that you actually don't have an on-site facility, and that all your huskies are actually placed into foster homes until they're adopted either by the foster parent, as you were saying, or into their forever homes. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We are foster home-based. We don't have a shelter or facility. A lot of people think we do when they contact us, thinking that we might be able to take their husky if they can no longer keep it, or people that just want to volunteer and help take care of the dogs. They think that we have a facility where they can come play with the dogs and give them love and attention, but that's not the case. So we keep them all in foster homes. And then one of the main reasons for that, too, is it gives us a better opportunity to learn about the husky's personality and provide them any training that might be needed before being adopted, such as housebreaking, general house manners, crate training, any of those type of things.
Now, would you, if a person's thinking about a Siberian Husky, and as many of us know, a lot of people fall in love with the beauty of the breed, or they see a puppy and they just fall in love with it, and sometimes, you know, they don't quite understand the needs of a Siberian Husky and, you know, their need to run or dig. By being a foster, would that be a good recommended way for someone to find out if this is indeed a breed for them?
Yes, this is Debbie again.
Hi, Debbie.
yes, it is a good way because they can learn, you know, hands-on if they feel that this is a commitment they can make for a longer period of time, you know, through the life of the husky. In some cases, they may decide it's not the right breed for them. But we do try to make sure that our fosters are educated if they are inexperienced with huskies, because we want them still to be able to take the best possible care of the husky while they're in the foster home. We want to make it, you know, a good experience for both the husky and the foster parents or parent.
Right. Today's guests are Debbie Klein and Janet Cross of the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida. Debbie, can you tell us about how foster homes are selected, and are there checks that are, obviously there probably are, that checks that are done on the huskies once they're in these foster homes?
Sure, yes. We do have, if there is anybody interested in fostering with us, they do need to fill out a foster application, which is available on our website. And part of the application process, it does include a reference check, a vet check on any of the current or previous pets that they may have, and we also do a home inspection. So, and then we have a volunteer that will do the home inspection. It also gives us some time to meet the foster face-to-face, answer any direct questions they may have, you know, before making this commitment of fostering a husky.
Right. Now, I just want to reiterate that, you know, four available huskies, adoption information, application information on fostering, please be sure to visit the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida's website. And again, that's www.cyberrescue.com, and that's two R's. So it's cyber, S-I-B-E-R, and rescue, R-E-C-U-E. And they're also listed on my blog over at www.5sibes.blogspot.com. If you just go down to the left, follow it down, you'll find their logo, and you can click on it. It'll take you right over to their website. Debbie and Janet, maybe someone can talk a little bit about an adoption process. Actually, I want to just back up a little bit. For rescuing huskies, I know there must be some specific criteria you have to meet, such as it has to be a husky within the state of Florida. You want to talk a little bit about that, that when huskies do need rescuing, you know, how you're able to help them and what the logistics are?
Sure. This is Debbie. I'll talk about that. Our intake process, and this is actually one of my responsibilities with the rescue, is we do have relationships with several different county shelters throughout the state, and there are other smaller shelters that we've worked with in the past and some that actually find us by looking online. What we do when they contact us, of course, is we ask them questions about the dog to get an idea, you know, if the dog is spayed or neutered, if they're heartworm positive or negative, if they've seen any concerns there at the shelter, any signs of aggression, that type of thing. And we will, if we think we have a foster home that might be available, we will have one of our volunteers in the area go and visit the husky at the shelter and do a behavior evaluation on them. And this way it gives us a better idea of the husky's personality, and that information is also helpful to be able to place the husky into an appropriate foster home.
Okay.
Of course, there's only so much you can learn about the dog in the shelter, but we do our best.
Now, I know you do some educational, you put a lot of different educational things up on both the website as well as on Facebook for folks. What would you say are some of the top key points that you would like potential husky parents to be aware of prior to actually bringing a husky into their home?
Okay, this is Debbie. One of the things that they should be aware of is the time and commitment that they need to be able to give to the husky, especially when it's even if it's a rescue dog, because you don't know everything about the dog's past. They could have been abused. It could have been an outside dog, which we dread. But one of the other main things that they need to understand is the exercise that huskies need. They are a working breed. They need to be kept challenged and motivated. And we have a phrase we always use: a bored husky is a destructive husky.
Mm-hmm.
So any type of toys that can stimulate their mind. Walking, making sure that they are getting regular walks, not just running around the backyard. That's not enough. They need the daily walks.
And they tend to be, they do have a nature for running. So I know even here with my five, we have a 6-foot privacy fence that we have put up, a solid one, which we also have put railroad ties that are driven into the ground in concrete, and we have dropped shale around the perimeter. They are escape artists, are they not?
Yes, that is correct. They would like to go. They're very inquisitive by nature, and they are known to be escape artists, whether it's digging out under the fence or sneaking out through the front door.
And Dorothy, may I add one thing? This is Janet speaking.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I always tell people when I'm speaking with them on the phone is to never, never, never leave your Siberian husky outside in your yard unattended. Even 1 minute leaves them enough time to either jump the fence or dig out and run free. And my dog's personal best record for digging under a fence is 20 seconds.
Wow.
So I hope this emphasizes just how much of a Houdini these animals are.
That's very good. That's true. I think sometimes folks don't really understand just how far and fast they can run, and sometimes they become disoriented when they have run and may not find their way home because they've gone such a great distance, which brings me, I'd like to talk a little bit because your website has a National Lost and Found Siberian Husky Registry where lost or found huskies can be listed with their photo for free. We all hate to hear of all the huskies that go missing, that are lost, and unfortunately some are stolen. Can you tell us a little bit about your Lost and Found Registry?
Yes, we can. This is Debbie. Usually people will contact us via email with information about their husky, usually including a picture, where they were last seen, and their contact information. It's a free service. We don't charge anybody for contacting us, asking to post them. Somehow over time, we've become one of the top hits online for lost and found huskies.
Right, and now the huskies don't have to just be missing or found in Florida, correct? This is a national registry.
Correct, yeah. We get emails from all around the United States, and actually even recently we've attracted some international friends. So we've had a couple international requests to post on our website.
Now, there have been happy ending stories as well. You have some stories of folks that have been reunited with their huskies as well, where the site, people, it's more visible. The more visible it is, the better chances somebody spots these dogs. But you've had successes with that as well.
Yes, there have been successes. We do ask them to notify us when the dog has been returned to his or her owner so that we can remove them from the website. They don't always let us know, but we have been contacted saying they that they have been found. They're now safe and sound back at home, and we love to hear that.
That's good. That's great. And while we're talking about success stories, can we talk about a few of your, you have a listing for happy endings of some of the huskies that you've rescued that are now in their forever homes. Can you maybe talk to us a little bit about some of those happy stories?
Okay, this is Debbie again. Yes, we do love to hear how our huskies end up settling into their new homes. We always follow up with our adopters within 24 hours of them adopting the husky to make sure everybody's settled in. We'll offer them some advice and some guidance because when you change their environment, they have to adapt to a new schedule, a new routine. But we've had several happy endings with our huskies. We try to get pictures, especially if they have any husky siblings or any other four-legged siblings in the home. So it's good to see those pictures. One that we have, whose name is Nyack, he was recently adopted by his foster dad, and it's going into the Florida and the water. They have he has a pool, and Nyack has taken it upon himself to decide that, I do enjoy the pool and swimming, and he'll just kind of wander out back and go down the steps and take himself for a swim, go for a lap around the pool.
Well, that's an extremely, they're all smart huskies, and I guess they figure out pretty quick the fun and good things to do, don't they?
They do.
Now, on today's The Side Vibe, we're chatting with Debbie Klein and Jenna Cross, the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida. Debbie, while you're still on the line here, as president of the rescue, what would you like folks who are interested in a Siberian Husky a keynote to know about your rescue and the breed, that maybe is your goal for the rescue?
I would say, volunteers are always welcome, particularly when it comes to fostering. That is one area. I talk to other people from other rescues and see how the number of adoptable dogs they have, and I'm like, where do you put them all? And they have a lot more foster homes than we have. So that's one area where we really, really could use help with our rescue. And a lot of that might just be due to lack of knowledge about the breed, or maybe people that, don't feel that they're, capable of handling a husky. But they're not bad dogs. they can be stubborn. And you have to understand the breed to be able to foster them. But, people see these dogs and think, oh, they're beautiful, and everybody always wants one. And we just, we'd like to see some people, follow through and put in foster applications. And so we can, get them approved. And the more foster homes we have, the more huskies we're able to take in from shelters.
And that's a very key message, I think. So if anyone is ever thinking about fostering, and if you live in Florida, please go stop by, talk to these ladies. Send them an email, go to their website and visit, because that is key. The more foster families that there are, the more, Siberian Huskies that can be saved. And I so agree, because I have five. They came at various times. Three of them came together as puppies, and we've adapted our yard to them. We've given them a whole section of the yard where they can free roam, they can dig, and they do. We have a huge maple. They love to lay under it. They love to chew on the roots. We always joke that it's canine pixie sticks, because they like to suck that maple out of the roots. They're very free to do that there. They can run. I have another side that's fenced in that we open up, and they go out, and they know that's the run side, and that's where they go full force, running. We've built a roof over our deck. They've kind of taken over our deck. We've built another deck on the other side for us, which is around the pool, and we give them a pool, and they're very content. They get their moments where they need to get their exercise, but as you said, a tired husky is a happy husky, and Robert, you probably can contribute to that as well with your team. I'm sure the more exercise, the happier the husky, right?
That's absolutely true. We have three Siberian Huskies up here with us in our team of 30 Alaskan Huskies. And I tell you what, guys, The Siberians are definitely a breed apart from the rest of the guys. They are so mischievous compared to the Alaskan Huskies. They constantly want to get into things other than what the other ones do. And I've been attracted to this breed since 1987, and that's when I got my first Siberian. And I hope to run a Siberian Husky team in the Iditarod in the near future. So that's our goal up here. And again, I'm so glad to have you guys on in this brand new show. I think it'll shed a lot of light on our favorite breed.
I hope so. I agree. I think that they're, it's like we said before, once you have one, I mean, it's just, I guess, you know, the potato chip syndrome that everybody knows about. I certainly have it. Every now and then when I see one of the Huskies on the rescues, I'll mention to my husband, what do you think, one more? And unfortunately, where I live, I'm at maximum capacity where I can, one more, and I believe I have to go for a kennel license.
Right.
But they are a magnificent breed, and you know, Robert, thank you for co-hosting the show. I think it's going to be wonderful for the breed as well. You know, again, I'd like to get back to Debbie Klein and Janet Cross, the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida. I noticed on your website you have a wish list section of needed donation items for the rescue, and it ranges from dry dog food to water bowls, dog collars, crates, brushes, and more. What items top that wish list for you, and how can folks who wish to donate items get them to you for the rescued Huskies?
I would say probably one of the main things is, well, heartworm preventative is one thing, but of course you need prescription for that. But flea and tick preventative would definitely be very helpful for us. Those are not cheap. It's one of the more expensive items we have to purchase for the Huskies, especially with being in the warmer climate. There's just, you know, certain times of the year that fleas just are terrible. So that would be one thing. Dog collars and leashes are also very helpful for when we pull dogs from the shelters. They don't always have a collar, or if they do, it's not a very good one.
Uh-huh.
So those would be very helpful. I mean, yes, like you said, there are several other things that are on that list, but I'd say those would probably be the top two.
Okay.
And if anybody wishes to get them to us, they can either donate monetarily to us, and we can purchase those specific items. Otherwise, they can mail them to us. They can send them to our P.O. Box address that's on the website, P.O. Box 8727, Seminole, Florida, 33775.
Great. Is there anyone's attention they should put that to, or just the general rescue, and that'll get to where it needs to go?
Just a general rescue, and we have somebody that handles the pickup for that, and she'll take care of getting it to where it needs to be.
Wonderful. And you also have a calendar of events. I know that there must be different events that go on for you, you know, maybe different adoption days and different awareness days. Do you have any coming up in the near future that you would like to talk about?
I'm trying to think now what our next usually the summer it's a lot slower because the weather is just it's too hot for anybody to just be outside during the day.
And they can go on your website and check a calendar. You have a calendar on there where they can see what's coming up
During the summer, we're usually doing, we're usually at some of the local pet stores in the St. Petersburg or Tampa area. But we do have something coming up on September 15th, which is AKC Responsible Dog Ownership Day at the Florida State Fairgrounds. So we have that event coming up.
What will that entail?
There'll be several other rescues that will be attending. We'll have everybody sets up booths there to provide information about their rescue, about their breeds. We'll also, you know, ask for donations. We'll have some items, some merchandise items there to sell. The event is going to also include some demos with agility, dog obedience. They'll have a police canine unit out there.
Sounds like a wonderful event, and that is September 15th?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. And they can go to your website to get more information on that and directions and things like that?
Yes, they can. Yeah, all of our events are on the calendar. There's several different community events, primarily from September to April is usually when they are, and we try to attend as many of those as we can.
Wonderful. Now, Robert, I know you said earlier you had a couple questions for the ladies.
Yes, I do. Debbie and Janet, thank you very much for joining us on the brand new Cy-Vibe radio show, our inaugural show. We're very honored to have you on. I have a couple of questions in regards to the hurricane. I know you said earlier that you are a foster-based rescue, and that's a very important part of any rescue organization, but hopefully you can educate folks that are a part of some extreme weather areas, whether it be in Florida or along the Gulf Coast or possibly in flooding in that area. I remember way back in the early 90s, I was living in Fort Myers Beach on a beach house down there trying to live the rock star lifestyle, if you wish. I was in a rock band down there. And I had a Siberian. His name was Axel. And in August of that year, Hurricane Andrew was beating down its path, and we were foolish and young and decided to stick it out, and one reason why was because we had our dog. Can you help us with that question? How do people, find the appropriate space if that happens, so God forbid they don't stay in an evacuation zone and that sort of thing? Maybe educate folks about hurricane awareness and prevention if you do have dogs, especially in your guys' area.
Okay, I'll attempt to answer that one. We've actually been lucky in the Pinellas County area, but of course that's where Pinellas and Hillsborough, that's where Janet and I are. But there are other areas of the state that have been worse off than we are. And since our fosters are throughout the state, it is definitely a concern. So, I mean, we definitely have any of our foster parents, we have a foster coordinator that they can contact if they're concerned, if they need to evacuate and they feel that they will not be able to take the foster dog with them. But of course, if they do take are able to, we need to be aware of that and where they're going. But it's really a matter of using the resources that are out there to find any shelters that will allow dogs to be with you, or if they're lucky enough to have other family members to go. It's something that you should really be prepared for and think in advance, because you can never predict when the hurricane may make a different type of turn.
If I could just say one thing there, Dorothy, that's a good point, because back during Hurricane Katrina in the New Orleans area, they really made strides to assist pet families by, afterwards, after Katrina, with shelters allowing pets and that sort of thing. Do you see that more often now in Florida than you did in the past?
I don't think we have. In the time that I've been involved with the rescue, and just even from some of the people that have been involved with our organization longer than I have, we haven't really faced any of those types of issues. But of course, if they did ever come up, we would do anything that we can, whether we needed to relocate one of our foster dogs to another home that's out of that area. We could certainly work on doing something like that, but.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, Dorothy.
No, I was just actually going to, while you were talking about that, I know I saw something, I believe, on maybe it was on one of your Facebook pages about microchipping, that it's really in lieu of a storm coming, it's very important to make sure that the dogs are microchipped just in case that they do get separated from their families. And did I see something that they're actually doing a free microchipping in Florida there today?
That's right, North. I had it posted on my Facebook page. This is Janet speaking. Down, I believe it was only up until 3:30, so we're kind of getting into the last hour, hour and a half. But I believe if you check my page, it was down at the Humane Society in Tampa, and they were offering free microchips just in case we do really get hit in this area later on, and at least, the dogs would have a chance of being reunited with their owners.
That's a great thing that they're doing. Now, there's your Facebook page. Can you just tell us the title where people can find your Facebook page?
I would just have to check that out for you. Maybe I could get back to you on that in a couple of minutes.
No problem. And there's also one for the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida. People can go there and double check as well. And I would imagine if there was any storm that was coming through, there would be any pertinent information. You would be posting it most likely on your website, correct? So that would probably be the best place for folks to go and check?
Yes, it would. We would definitely post something on our website as well as our Facebook page.
Okay, wonderful.
Dorothy, can I ask one more question, please?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Since this is a brand new show and you guys are being profiled on the first episode of the SciVibe, I really want to ask you guys, as a rescue organization, how social media has come into play with rescue. Everybody uses Facebook now. Everybody uses Twitter. I think the days of going around town and hanging up the flyers are becoming numbered compared to the way that they are now with everybody using social media. How does that help or how does that hinder your guys' work in rescue using the social media?
Oh, sorry. We were just trying to look up Janet's Facebook page. But in terms of the social media, it plays a big key because it's a way of promoting us and letting people know that, hey, we're here and there is a need for there are so many Siberian Huskies in the state of Florida. People don't realize the number that there are out there. And they do show up in shelters very frequently, and they are in need of rescue. So we use any means by email, Facebook, Twitter, TwitPic, all of any means that are accessible to us to try to make sure that they are aware.
I'm sorry, Robert. I was going to say it must be quite an asset now with having the social media because you can get the word out farther and wider, I would think.
Dorothy, this is Janet speaking. I just looked up the exact wording. If people would like to also look on my site, I represent some of the volunteers so that we have two pages running simultaneously. My page is called Husky Mom at Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida. And I certainly will also be posting any information, updates on the weather, anything to do with microchip clinics, anything of that nature.
Wonderful. Okay. Again, that's Husky Mom at Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida. And Robert, I'm sorry, I think I might have cut off a question you had.
Oh, I was just following up on regards to the social media question. Are you guys finding that immediate response helping you guys, especially on the national registry? You know, a lot of folks, they'll lose. Up here we have an email list for lost dogs, especially with all the mushers up here, and they will send out an email blast to all the guys on the group, and within an hour, often a lot of these dogs are found, you know, whether they're on the road or whatever, they're picked up and taken to somebody's house, and of course, most of the time they're reunited. Are you finding that quick response is helping you guys, or does it become a little bit overburdened with constantly having to update Facebook and Twitter and that sort of thing? Are you finding it a little bit more of a detriment?
This is Janet speaking. I wouldn't call it a detriment. Obviously, we want to try and help all the Huskies out there. But because we do cover such a huge country, we have people contacting us in California, in Texas, anywhere. So we have a huge number of people contacting us at any one time. So we try to do our best. We get them up on the site, and then the posts obviously then automatically go through to our Facebook pages. But it's not that easy to automatically link up a lost dog with someone who's holding the dog. You know, we don't always get everybody coming to the same point at the same time. We just try to do our best, but we are covering a huge amount of territory because we do cover the United States in its entirety. Plus now, of course, we have our new international friends.
Well, I got to admire that work. I know it takes a lot of time and dedication. You guys have to have one heck of a group of volunteers, and we have to give some kudos to those guys as well, because without those volunteers, none of this would be possible, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
Dorothy, do you want to follow up there?
I just wanted to check in with them and see, is there anything else that you ladies would like to let our listeners know about either your rescue, Huskies, or, adopting or fostering?
This is Janet speaking. I'd like to take this opportunity just to ask our listeners out there that if you are thinking about volunteering, we would really and truly appreciate your help. I am the volunteer coordinator, and I will respond to your email. your application within 24 hours. We're always looking for volunteers across a really wide spectrum of skills. We, as you know, we've just spoken about our public relations events. We have those. They occur across the state of Florida, although they are primarily in Pinellas and Hillsborough County. We also need people who are knowledgeable enough about the breed that they can do home inspections for us or can do reference checks for potential adopters. We have also a unique feature which is called the Swashbuckler Team, and that's the team that handles all of the incoming calls from the public. As you know, we don't have an office, and since we cover most of the state of Florida, we found that using emails and phone calls, we can direct more money towards helping the animals. So when someone calls us about a problem or dog that they need to give up, we just refer it to the Swashbuckler Team, and then they get help. We try to help if possible. We try to help them to keep their dog. And if not, then we give them the names of no-kill shelters that can take their dog if we cannot possibly help them in any way. As Debbie mentioned earlier, we have a huge need for foster families. That is our biggest need. Without our fosters, we cannot save any more dogs. And then once we are aware of dogs that are in shelters, we have more volunteers that serve as a transport team. We cover a huge portion of Florida. We cover the north, that's across the Panhandle through to Jacksonville, all the way down through central Florida, through Orlando, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and south of there. So if you'd like to donate some of your time to please working on one of these teams, we would really love to have you apply to be a volunteer with us. Thank you.
Well, we'd like to thank you, Janet and Debbie, for being guests today. Again, Debbie Klein and Janet Cross are with the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida. If you're interested in adopting a husky or you live in the state of Florida and want to check out fostering or helping them in some way, please be sure to check out their website. If you'd like to read up on the breed, you can check out their educational links, and you can visit their website and sign up for their newsletter at www.cyberrescue.com, and again, that's two R's, or you can visit my blog over at www.fivesibes.blogspot.com and look for the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida logo and just click on it, and it'll take you right over to their website. I'd like to thank you and for joining Robert and I on our very first show. It's been wonderful having you here. I think we've learned a lot about, you know, huskies and your rescue and that lost and found registry. We hope all our readers enjoyed our show. Next month, I hope people will come back. We're going to be featuring Tales of the Tundra, who's going to talk about their 10th annual Tales on the Trails event and fundraiser, and we'll have more details about that. But please be sure to mark your calendars. Join us all for some great details and about huskies. And Janet, Debbie, thank you so much. Please be sure to look up the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida. And until then, everyone, hug a husky. And Robert, thank you.
Thank you very much, Dorothy. We'll talk again real soon. Can you give us a date, a tentative date for our next show?
Right now we're talking about October 16th. And again, as I said, it'll always be on a Sunday, one Sunday a month. And right now we're looking at September 16th. I keep skipping September. So that would be September 16th.
September 16th, and we're going to make sure that we post this show all over the place. Our work just begins once the show ends its airing. I make sure that it's edited down and fixed up so it's cleaned, and we post it all over the place on Facebook and Twitter, and throughout the month it will be reposted on Twitter and that sort of thing. How do people find you, Dorothy, besides your blog page? I know that's your main landing point, but you have several other things going on. Can you mention some of those?
Sure. Actually, there is a fivesibes.com in the works. It's been in the works for a while. Right now, if you go there, it just tells you something exciting's coming. So eventually, everything will fall under the fivesibes.com umbrella. For now, the fivesibes.blogspot.com is my main go-to point. I do also have the Five Sibes Siberian Husky Canine News and Reviews on Facebook. You can find me. It's Five Sibes Mom on Twitter, and we do have Five Sibes on Instagram.
And speaking of Instagram, you're one heck of a photographer. Tell us a little bit about that. You know, blow your own horn, I guess, a little bit. Tell us about the work that you do, especially in photography.
I love photography. I've been a photojournalist all of my life since I was about 16. I love photographing. The Huskies make a wonderful, wonderful subject, and they're happy to oblige, by the way. Sometimes you get some, you know, they know when they're being photographed, and our alpha girl, Harley, she too, she'll give you her best side, or she'll give you the look that tells you she don't want to be photographed today. I love to photograph and just bring a piece of life to folks. I love to photograph landscapes in addition to, you know, the Huskies, and just really take a slice of life and hopefully make someone smile that day. And I do really see things through the lens of a camera. You know, I look at something and think, wow, I enjoy seeing this. I would like to share this with others so they can enjoy it. And I do find that the canine world and the Siberian Husky world included in that, folks are just really great. They're receptive. They enjoy looking at the photographs, and I'm really pleased to share that with them.
And my last question for you, Dorothy, is we had you on our show earlier in the year, and you talked about your new book that is absolutely cool, especially with the illustrations, the book about Gibson. And I've had a lot of questions about, you know, what's up with Gibson these days. Can you give us an update?
I sure can. As we speak, Gibson is doing very well. He had a little bit of a scary episode just a short while back. I had wrote about it over on my blog, because I do like to share things about that, because as you know, I really love to be out there and speak about canine epilepsy awareness. Once upon a time, dogs, the only recourse was to euthanize a dog who had seizures or epilepsy, and that's just not true anymore today. There are some dogs that even with medication still have some issues, but the folks today are becoming more and more educated and understanding there are different things through diet, medication, holistic measures that we can do to really try to give these dogs a happy and what I call a healthy life, even with canine epilepsy. One of his medications, the pharmacy had changed and didn't notify the vet or the public at that time, and they just did a simple capsule redesign, so to say, and he was on 1,300 milligrams of potassium bromide. His 300 milligram capsule, they reduced it to almost half the size, but I happened to notice that the content looked a little different. It looked more, one was crystallized, the other one looked powdery, and I'm by no means a science person, but, you know, just visually looking at it, I questioned it, and my veterinarian, they're wonderful. I'm blessed with a great team that really take care of him. And, you know, we tracked down, talked to the pharmacy. They did say they did wind up changing the capsule to fit into a smaller capsule, but, you know, everything else should be fine. And this is just more of a story to say how a simple change like a capsule reformulation can affect a dog. Within 2 weeks of Gibson being on that new medication, he starts suffering from severe ataxia. First, he started walking extremely drunk-like. Then he got weakness in the hind end, which he has had before, and I do laser therapy on him and exercise and massage. But it started getting extremely bad. He couldn't move. It wound up moving very quickly to his front legs, and then he couldn't even lift his head. He wound up slamming his head on the floor, and it was very scary. When it started happening, it happened very quickly. I contacted my vet. He immediately suspected potassium bromide toxicity and reduced his potassium bromide back from 1,300 to 600. It took probably about a week, but within a few days I started noticing a difference, and probably about a week to 2 weeks Gibson started coming back to his usual self, and we've had two blood tests since then, and he goes again Monday for a third follow-up, and if his levels stay the same, we'll be keeping him at that lower dose. So while it was a scary situation, I always like to look at that out of everything bad comes something good, and we're able to, so far, knock on wood, his last blood test showed that the 600 was keeping his levels at a really good point. So our hope now is to keep him at the lower dose, which allows him much more spark. He's much more active. Some of the other dogs aren't quite used to him being active because usually he's pretty lethargic and they can jump over him, and now he's jumping up and playing, and it's really great to see the spark back in him. And, you know, I hope we can continue on this path and that there's no backlash seizures as a result of the reduction. But right now he's doing good and he's looking good.
Well, I have to commend you on your work that you do for canine epilepsy and all of the support and promotion you give for that. You do a great job with that.
Well, thank you very much. I think it's important that folks know that, you know, if a dog has seizures, there's such a long road to go. And, you know, I like to do a lot of work with the nonprofit Canine Epilepsy Resources, and they're on the website as well. They're linked on my pages. Also on the book's publishing page, which is arctichousepublishing.com, there's a link over to them. And they have a canine Epilist, which is a great email mailing list where you can talk with other folks across the country whose dogs have been suffering from seizures and symptoms and epilepsy. And it's just a wonderful support, and they have a lot of information there as well to a parent of an epileptic dog.
Well, Dorothy, we're almost out of time here. Great job on your first show. Congratulations on that. We're looking forward to September 16th, Tales of the Tundra. That is another rescue, correct?
Yes, that's a rescue out of Pennsylvania. And every year they do a Tales on the Trails event. And this year is our 10th anniversary. I'm actually going to be there for this one. I'll be down there meeting some people and signing some books and talking about the Five Vibes and canine epilepsy and our show, the Five Vibe. So I'm very excited about that. But this is a really big anniversary for them, so it'll be nice to talk to them about it.
And one of our goals on this show, the Sci-Vibe, is to set up that network for all of these different rescues. Just because we had the guys on from Florida today, and next month we'll have guys on from Pennsylvania, all of them working together will obviously help out the breeds that they're working for. So I look forward to networking all these guys together, at least here on our show.
I do, too. When I first got our Huskies, my previous dogs, we always adopted from our local ASPCA, and I wasn't aware of the Husky rescues. And once I started getting my own and started networking through social networking, as you talked about before, my introduction was when Gibson first started with his seizures. I reached out through MySpace at the time and connected with some people and then moved on through other social networking means, and that's how I connected with folks. And, it's just it's very important to be connected to them, and I think it's a great thing.
There you go. On behalf of our co-host, Dorothy Wills Raftery, I believe, again, I don't want to mispronounce, and our guys Janet and Debbie calling in from Florida, thank you guys very much for joining us. We will make sure that we post links all over the place and get the word out there as best as we can, and I hope everything works out well for you during the hurricane and it passes right through without much damage. Dorothy, anything you want to say in closing so we can end the show?
No, I would just like to thank you, Robert, for co-hosting and working all the technical details as well. I really appreciate that, and I love having your expertise here on the show with me. And I just want to thank Debbie and Janet again from the Siberian Husky Rescue of Florida. Great ladies. I think they do wonderful work, and I commend them and all the volunteers for all the work they do to help those Huskies.
Very good. So stay tuned. Next time, September 16th on DogWorks Radio, it'll be the second edition of the Side Vibe. We're looking forward to having some intro music for you guys, and we're looking forward to suggestions and that sort of thing. So check us out on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll make sure that we get your comments posted as soon as we can. So we'll see you guys next time. Good.